Good evening, everyone. We are beginning this year's Sacred Triduum today, and as I do every year, homilies for today, Good Friday, and Easter Vigil, I try to have a theme that connects them all. And so this year, I'm going to try to spend some time reflecting on the interior state of Jesus during his passion, death, and resurrection. Interior state, not so much spiritual, but emotionally. What Christ might have endured in his heart, in the core of his being, using our own experience of situations similar to that which Jesus endured to help us understand. Maybe look at the passion in a way that you haven't looked at before, to consider some dimensions that you may never have considered. A few days ago on Palm Sunday, we looked at the alienation, isolation, and shame that Jesus endured during his passion, interiorly, in his emotions as a man. Today, I want to look at an aspect that we see about in today's gospel that's real, but however, is really played out more in full, we understand, on this day. And that is Judas's betrayal of Jesus and Judas's suicide. How specifically this would have impacted Christ in his heart. It's very easy for us to vilify Judas. Judas is the traitor. Judas is the one who led Christ to the cross. He is the son of perdition. And indeed, we see some very harsh words about Judas in the Gospels. It was better that he would not have been born. And throughout history, particularly in Dante's Inferno, Judas is placed in the lowest levels of hell. And even during Holy Week, in certain places around the world, to celebrate the holiest of weeks, they burn effigies of Judas. Some people indeed get dressed up as Judas as they're dragged through the streets. And we all can understand this and appreciate it. But there's another fact that is more important than all of this. And the fact is that no matter what Judas did, no matter what we think about Judas, Judas was Jesus' friend. Judas was Jesus' friend, and Jesus loved Judas. Jesus loved Judas. He chose him as an apostle, as one of the 12, after praying about it. Number two, Judas, with the other apostles, lived with Jesus, taught with him, traveled with him, ate with him for 3 years. He got to know Jesus in a very intimate way. And our Lord became good friends with Judas during that period of time. Both as God and as man, Jesus understood Judas's weakness and his sinfulness. But he still kept him around. He still trusted him. And so it's easy for us, I think, to have this idea that Jesus knew everything and chose Judas and was sort of stoic to Judas's fate. Well, Judas, I'm just picking you because you've got to do this, and I know you're going to mess up and you're going to go to hell, and well, that's just how it's going to have to be. Or even some, I think, would envision that maybe Jesus rejoiced at Judas's fate. But the fact of the matter is, this is not true. Jesus' reaction was not and could not have been, Judas made his choice, he deserves what he got, that's God's will, and let's move on. No, indeed. Jesus loved his apostles. They were his closest friends on earth and his followers. And I dare say we might propose that Jesus loved Judas the most because he was the lost sheep. And he, Jesus, is the good shepherd. So this is why Judas's betrayal hurt Jesus so much. All the things that we can meditate upon that our Lord endured in his suffering, We don't think about the fact that his friend's betrayal hurt Jesus. There was a tremendous pain there. And we as human beings, many of us may have been betrayed by a friend, a family member, a loved one who stabbed us in the back, who turned us over. We know what that pain is like. And it's so much worse to be betrayed by a friend than have an enemy come after us. If we know what it's like, then we can't think that this is not what Jesus experienced. The pain of being betrayed by his friend. And for those of us who may have been betrayed, we ask ourselves, how could you do this? What prompted you to make this decision? I thought we were friends. And Judas, you do it with a kiss? How humiliating. What led you to this? And that's why in the church tradition, often when we relate to Judas and Jesus and the betrayal, we hark back to the Old Testament in Psalm 55. If an enemy had reviled me, the psalmist says, that I could bear. But it was you, my other self, my comrade and my friend. My other self, you did this to me. That's a very, very poignant passage that reveals the pain of the psalmist and is so often put in Jesus' mouth. And even more so, the pain that our Lord would have experienced when he found out why Judas betrayed him or what he got out of it. He didn't become a king. He didn't become a ruler. He got 30 lousy pieces of silver. He turned over his best friend, the Son of God, for 30 lousy pieces of silver. And so I'm going to challenge you today to try to understand Christ's pain, being betrayed by his friend, is a real part, not the complete part, but a real part of his pain in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because it's from the upper room that he goes down to the garden to pray. That would have been on his mind. The impending betrayal of Judas and what he experienced after Judas did the deed and betrayed him. We can also understand, though, in connecting it to us, for those who've experienced the betrayal of a friend, that Christ is with us, too, in that time of questioning, of darkness, and in pain, because he's gone through it first. But the truth is that Christ's pain over Judas went much deeper. His anxiety was much more profound, not just because his friend betrayed him, not just because Judas betrayed him, but the fact that Judas committed suicide. The terrible sorrow that our Lord would have felt at the tragic death of his friend. Again, we can have this idea that Jesus was some sort of a stoic God. Wasn't moved by anything. And he even thought, as I said, well, Judas, he had what was coming to him. This is what he deserved. But our Lord, who is love, would have never have thought that. Jesus loved Judas and was merciful towards him and forgave him for his betrayal and would have never rejoiced over his fate. Imagine saying that somehow Jesus was happy that Judas committed suicide. No. A terrible sadness and a terrible pain over the fate of Judas. We can imagine our own feelings at the death of a loved one, particularly if we've ever known someone who was close to us who committed suicide or took their own life. How we feel, the darkness and the pain and the sadness and the confusion. It can cause tremendous anxiety in our minds, our hearts, and our souls. Again, Jesus experienced this at the death of Judas, and therefore is with us when we experience the same thing, the loss of a loved one, particularly in such a tragic way. So all of this brings up the question of the eternal fate of Judas. Scripture seems clear. It is better that he would not have been born. And other very, very harsh words about Judas. But the fact is There is no definitively clear statement from the church that Judas is definitely in hell. You have certain individuals throughout the history of the church, theologians and thinkers, who have said that, but yet the church doesn't teach that. In fact, the church does not teach any specific person, whether it be Hitler or Stalin or Judas, is actually in hell. We have a point of theological contention today that should we, as Christians, hope that Judas may be repented and found salvation? We're not going to get into that. Instead, we're going to focus back on what we know. What we can say is that Jesus loved Judas and was pained by his betrayal and his tragic death. In preparing this homily, I thought of the parable of the prodigal son and how there are some similarities. Imagine the pain of the father as he sees his son, whom he loved, whom he lived with, who he had a friendship with, leave and betray him. But he's ultimately saying, I want my inheritance, is betraying him and saying, I wish you were dead, and leaving to go squander it. The father never hated the son. The father wasn't stoic towards the son's fate. The father didn't think maybe the son deserved him. Instead, the father still loved the son and waited for him to return. And so that was Christ's attitude, we can imagine, towards Judas, desiring that he would return and repent. One final point. Judas, of course, was Jesus' friend. We believe that. But he wasn't just a friend who betrayed Jesus and took his own life. Judas was a priest. Judas, on this day, the Feast of the Last Supper, was consecrated a priest by our Lord. That's why we celebrate the gift of the priesthood today. He consecrated all of the apostles as priests in order to be able to offer the sacrifice of the Mass. And so we can imagine that it was especially painful for Jesus that not just one of his friends, but one of his priests, right after his ordination, betrayed him. Judas, who was conformed to Jesus through ordination in a very unique way. We call priests the alter Christus, another Christ. Like that quote from Psalm 55. My other self, you've done this to me. The pain that our Lord experienced. And the pain he experiences each time a priest betrays Christ through his actions. But just like with Judas, Jesus still loves the priest, looks on him with mercy, and calls him to conversion. And so what I want to do in conclusion is offer some concrete suggestions. Because if we're going to sort of be in this Triduum together and walk through and pray through the mysteries, it's kind of like a mini retreat. To offer some suggestions for meditation for the course of the day as we prepare for the celebration of the Passion of our Lord tomorrow. I want you to imagine, or take some time in your meditation, to imagine that you are with Christ, sitting with him in prison. So he would have come down to the Garden of Gethsemane. He would have been taken by the guards, but he'd been thrown into prison to wait for a while before he would have faced trial. Imagine what our Lord was going through, the betrayal of Judas so fresh in his mind and his heart. And ask the Lord to allow you to understand and maybe share in what he felt. The pain at the betrayal and the loss of his friend. But also specifically to pray for three things tied to our theme today. One, to pray for those friends who betrayed us. Friends, family members, co-workers, those who are close to us, pray that we can forgive them as Christ forgave Judas. Second, we want to pray in a particular way for those that we know who may have taken their own lives. To pray for the repose of their soul and the consolation of their family. And finally, to pray for priests on this day dedicated to the priesthood, especially those priests that we know or maybe we don't know, who are mired in sin, and who have strayed from the path. So we're going to continue these reflections over the course of the next 3 days. We try to enter more deeply into the mystery and into the human heart and emotions of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.